Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
This is Gavin McLaughlin with you on News Talk's Taking Stock, and we're joined now by Rory O'Sullivan, Chief Executive Officer at Moltex Energy North America. Rory, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here. Hello.
So you guys are developing a new type of nuclear reactor that you hope will prove maybe a bit more palatable to the general public than what is there at the minute. Before we get into the detail of what you have planned, can I ask, what stage of development are you at? Is there a real life functioning version of this?
So we don't have one up and running at the moment. Essentially, this is a pretty new technology. Small modular reactors, generally, they're at very different stages. Some of the more conventional ones are already up and running. We're on more the advanced innovative type, and essentially we've got different parts of the reactor up and running to test it all. And now we're working to build a full-scale plant, putting all those bits and pieces together so that you can have a full operational product as soon as possible.
There's a couple of elements to it I want to explore with you. And the first is that it's of a much smaller scale than, you know, what people might typically associate a nuclear reactor as being. So why is it a good thing, Rory, to have a smaller nuclear reactor?
Well, there's a few things. The first one is conventional nuclear has really, they've turned into very big plants. And what that means is they're almost unbuildable. The components you need to make them take years and years, and there's only a couple of facilities around the world that can build them. And one plant would essentially power the whole of Ireland, and that's just not practical for a country like Ireland or many places around the world. So the newer plants have got a much smaller, so that you can spread them around a country and get a lot more diversity. And then the components themselves are much smaller and easier to manufacture. So any manufacturing facility could manufacture these components rather than a couple of very specialist facilities. It just reduces your risk and makes your cost makes it all cost less and easier to build.
Yeah, and I suppose an example of what you're saying is being seen in the UK, where they've got one new nuclear project under construction, Hinkley Point C. Absolute disaster in terms of delays and cost overruns. And basically, that's it. They had planned to build a new generation of nuclear plants, but basically, it's not really happening. Something that's very important in your project, Rory, is salt. So explain the role salt plays in this thing.
So we, although it's a small reactor, the real innovations come around our fuel. So we have a molten salt fuel. So regular nuclear power has solid fuel, and we've all heard of the concept of a nuclear meltdown, and that's what we want to avoid. Well, with this liquid salt fuel, the concept of a meltdown doesn't really apply anymore. So we don't have the big accident scenario that you could have had in the past. We just don't have it. With the technology, traditional nuclear was designed on slide rules in the 1950s. And although there was some big accidents in the past, statistically, the conventional nuclear power is the safest energy on the planet. And then when you bring in these new innovations like ours with the salt fuel, you really get an even higher level of safety where you're just eliminating the risk altogether. So nuclear power today, modern nuclear technology, the next wave of technology, is very different to what people think about nuclear power in the past.
It's not all salt, though, the fuel. I mean, is it uranium you use, or is it something else? There are some risks here in terms of radioactivity, aren't there?
There is radioactivity. So it's uranium is the nuclear fuel, but it's in a salt form. So essentially, you mix table salt in with uranium, heat it up to about 500 degrees, and then it flows. It looks like water and flows like water, and that's how we use our fuels. That's why the concept of the meltdown doesn't really apply, because it's in the form of a liquid already, so you don't have that risk.
All right. Well, just taking it a little bit further beyond that, I mean, you even go a bit further in your sort of marketing material, I suppose, around this concept. You describe it as inherently safe, which is quite a claim. So just tell us a bit about how you can make that claim.
Yeah, sure. So essentially, with a conventional nuclear power plant, you need a lot of different safety controls to make sure the reactivity doesn't run away. And they have multiple different programs and equipment and components to make sure it doesn't happen. With the inherent features of our design, if the reactor gets a little too hot for any reason, the reactivity inherently goes down naturally. If the temperature goes a bit too low, the reactivity goes up and it'll naturally stabilize at a certain temperature. So if you don't, if you know something goes wrong and you have an accident on site, you can send all of your operators away and the reactor will take it back down to a stable temperature. It won't, there's no runaway reaction scenario. That's why it's inherently safe, a walk away safe, because everyone can walk away and it's still going to be a safe facility.
But I have read you saying before that there are still things that can go wrong. So what would be the risks of this system?
Like any mega industrial facility, there's always hazards. You know, any chemical plant has thousands of things that can go wrong. So there's still going to be high temperature components. There's still a lot of risks, but that's why we're doing all these experiments now. We're building all the little components and testing them over and over and over again, so we really understand exactly what can go wrong and what to do about it. But it's the big accident risk that we've really eliminated. We can still, there's still lots of small things that can still go wrong, like can go wrong on any coal-powered plant, on any renewable plant, on any chemical plant.
Yeah, so what about an escape of radioactivity then?
It depends on the level. You can still have an escape of radioactivity, but we don't have a scenario where you can have a large release of airborne radioactivity beyond the site boundary that could harm the public. So we can have radioactive leaks on the site that could be hazardous. The operators would need to leave the area. We don't have a scenario. We have radioactive release that could harm the public beyond the site.
Our guest here on News Talk is Rory O'Sullivan, Chief Executive Officer at Moltex Energy North America. People listening to this, obviously because of the history of nuclear, I think there is probably a natural skepticism towards it. You mentioned that, you know, we don't have a real life functioning version of this, but you're testing out various bits and bobs. So just tell me, which bits of it are you satisfied work, and which bits still need a bit more work?
So I say there is no operational one. Our exact configuration is not built, but the concept of this liquid salt, molten salt fuel reactors have operated. They were built in the States in the 1960s. It's, you know, as I said earlier, they were designed on slide rules. With modern technology and these new innovations and inventions that we've come up with, we're able to put these together in a facility that will we can build at low cost today and safely. And those novel aspects, like how we put the fuel together, the engineering, how everything fits together in the core and you can build it quickly and safely. That's what we are working on today. Some of that we've got well underway, and some of the bigger, more expensive stuff, we're just getting into it now. We've just received a $50 million grant from the Canadian government, and that really allows us to do these bigger, more complex experiments, getting towards building a full-scale commercial facility.
Yeah, Canada, I think it's fair to say, is where your operations are focused at the minute, and as you mentioned, you've got a lot of support from the authorities there. You say that the idea is to use nuclear waste as fuel for this thing, which is kind of a nice idea if it can work. So how are you going to manage that?
So this is one of the advantages of using this liquid salt fuel. We can essentially take existing nuclear waste, and instead of it being radioactive for 300,000 years, we can put it through our facility that'll convert it, or convert the bits of it that are radioactive for 300,000 years, and we can put them into the salt form and use them as fuel.
And is there waste produced from your process at the other end?
There is, and we put that back into the front again. So we can take our waste and put it back around again. So it's like a loop. We can keep going round and round and round, top it up with spent fuel from other reactors, recycle ours, and we can go around and we can fuel our reactor for 60 years. We can't get rid of all waste altogether. For example, when our reactor shuts down at the end of the life, you've still got waste at the end of it. But we're getting it down to well below 1% of the volume of the original waste. And maybe if things go, you know, as well, in the best scenario, get them down to a thousandth of the original volume. So you can never get rid of all radioactive waste, but we can make a significant impact at reducing it. And this is pretty novel, and this is unique to us, what we're looking at doing in Canada, because there's a lot of waste in the world. The amount of waste throughout the globe can power 100,000 megawatts of our reactors, 60 years. That's about 100 million homes.
All right. Well, fingers crossed you managed to get this working, because I definitely think people would welcome that. What's the idea for these ultimately, Rory? Is it that they would replace conventional nuclear generation, or would it be sort of more as a backup for intermittent renewables, or what?
So the last technology point I'll just give before answering that is, this is, again, relatively unique to us. There's a couple of others looking at it. Is we're coupling energy storage with the nuclear plant. So instead of just running kind of base load all the time, it can act as a giant battery on the grid to flex up and down. So when nuclear traditionally was really just, you know, the base load power that, you know, runs all day long, modern nuclear really can act as the energy storage to complement renewables whenever the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining. But even beyond that, if we want to get to net zero, nuclear can do much more than just electricity. Nuclear produces heat that we can use for the big heavy industries instead of using gas. And they can produce hydrogen to power airplanes, even cars or other sectors of industry. So if we want to get to net zero, you want to electrify, nuclear can do some of that. But modern nuclear can do a lot more than just electrification. They could decarbonize half or even two thirds of all energy use beyond electricity.
I wonder, have you missed the boat, though? Because nuclear has its reputational issues, which we've discussed, and probably people would say, you know, maybe it's going to be batteries or even hydrogen that might be used to back up intermittent renewables instead. And, you know, we're a few years away, obviously, from you having these things up and running if you manage to do it. So, you know, maybe you have missed the boat.
Maybe, but I don't think so. We've got to get to net zero by 2050, and every country is a long way off that. Conventional nuclear power is the only technology that's actually proven to get, that's actually demonstrated getting countries fully decarbonized, like Sweden and France. So getting to nuclear without getting to zero without nuclear is really like going to battle with pitchforks. It's just doesn't make sense to me. So we're going to need all options, and it's not one or the other. But if I look at Ireland, trying to get to net zero without nuclear power is nonsense, to be honest. The only way that it could work is just huge reliability on the nuclear baseload from France and the UK with interconnectors. And that's just Ireland putting its head in the sand, thinking it's not using nuclear when it is.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's fair to say wind power has been proven to be very effective here. And an island of this size, you probably could back it up without having to go down the nuclear road.
I have yet to see a plan that shows reliable, cost-effective electricity for any country with electric storage. I haven't seen a credible plan that works, certainly not for Ireland.
How long is it going to be, do you think, before you have one of these in full operation?
Well, it's going to be close to 10 years, unfortunately. These are big projects. And we've got, it's a 10-year program, basically, because we've got another 3 to 4 years of these big experimental testing to do. But any mega industry, infrastructure project is about a 7-year anyway. So we're looking at a few years of the technology development before we can get into wider rollout. But the key is in 15 years, we can have 50 of them rolled out. And in 20 years, you can have thousands. So it really is very scalable if you want to make an impact on climate change. But we've got to get moving on the first one quickly.
And your vision for Ireland would be then, Rory, that we'd have, I don't know, 20 or 25 of these things dotted around the island?
Not even, no. It's only a few. You'd only need 3 dotted across the island to really stabilize, because they produce quite a lot of power, and that would give the diversity. Because renewables should still be the majority, the largest energy source based on the cost profile that it's looking at. But to be able to keep the overall electricity price and the bills low for consumers, you need the backup that's going to make sure you have the lights on all night and all day.
Okay, well, we look forward to seeing how it develops. Rory, thanks very much for joining us. That's Rory O'Sullivan, Chief Executive Officer at Moltex Energy North America.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Taking stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.